This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Sunday morning at 10, I began to share some thoughts from a book that I was reading called The Circle Maker. Some of you may have heard of the book. Some of you may not have. But tonight I'm going to bring another portion of that book out to you, one that has really gripped me. And so if you have never read the book, I highly suggest it. Go pick it up. It will revolutionize your faith and your prayer life, because I know it's done that for me. Once again, thank you so much for being at church on Wednesday night. Why don't you give yourselves a hand for being at church? I have not seen so great a faith all day today. I began to think this afternoon while I was in prayer about the amount of faith that it takes to come to church. You're coming into a building to worship a God you've never seen. Lift up your hands, clap your hands, and begin to pray to a God you've never seen, because you, number one, you believe in Him, and number two, you believe that He has a word for you, and you believe that that word can change your life. I haven't seen that great of faith all day today. So thank you for your faith. Thank you for believing that the Word of God can change you. Thank you for allowing the Word of God to change you. Tonight, I want to, first of all, I want to briefly recap kind of what we talked about Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I introduced this thought about the circle maker, about a man by the name of Hani who went into the desert. He lived in between the time of the Jewish prophets and Jesus Christ. Whenever it was a time when men felt like they could not hear from God, but this one man felt like God could hear from them. And so during one of the worst droughts in Jewish history, this man goes out into the middle of the desert, followed by thousands of people. He takes his staff and he draws a circle and he begins to pray for rain. And as he prays for rain, it begins to sprinkle. And he prays again, not for such rain have I prayed, but a rain that will fill canyons and a rain that will fill ditches. And then all of a sudden a massive flash flood came and people began to flee. And then he stays in the circle and he prays again and he says, no, I'm praying for a rain of your grace and a rain of your blessing and favor. And a slow, steady rain came upon the earth. And he got the reputation as one who could pray for rain. And Sunday we talked about how we asked ourselves the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And whenever we can answer that question, it will revolutionize the way that we pray. If we can say, no, nothing is too hard for the Lord, it really begins to open some wrinkles on our mind. And really, we begin to think about what we can pray for and how big our God really is. I found three things about prayer, and tonight I'm going to talk about the third one, but I'd like to kind of briefly go through the first one. The first one is dream big. The second one is pray hard. And the third is think long. Dream big. You can put that back up, Sister Jay. Dream big. Don't be afraid to dream big. Whatever your dreams are, write them down. Prayer journal them. Think. What is the biggest, what is the thing that you want God to do in your life? Is your the God that you serve big enough to fulfill that dream? Number two, pray hard. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray hard. I love the illustration that Jesus gave of the woman who would not leave the judge alone. He was an unrighteous judge. She wouldn't leave him alone. Then eventually he gave her what he wanted. And Jesus said, this is how I want you to pray. Whenever I was a youth pastor in Thibodaux, there was this girl. Her name was Amber Manry. Amber lived in a town called Schriever, which was outside of Thibodaux, and she never had a ride to church, but she had my cell phone number. So all day Thursday morning, she was calling me. She called me before she went to work, before she went to school. And if she couldn't call me, she would call Ashley before she went to school. And then whenever she got out at 3 o'clock, she was calling us, hey, can you pick me up for church? Can you give me a ride for church? I need a ride for church. Hey, can you find somebody to give me a ride for church? And then if she couldn't get us on our phone, she would call the church phone. And then she'd dial in my extension. And she'd leave messages on my voicemail at church. And then if she couldn't get me there, she would get on Facebook. And she would send me Facebook messages. Hey, I need a ride for church. I need a ride for church. Can you find me a ride for church? Can you send somebody to pick me up a ride for church? And this is exactly what she sounded like. She would call. Normally, you know, if you call and you don't get someone, you wait maybe 15, 20 minutes. Not her. It was call, call, and she would leave a voicemail. She literally filled up my voicemail on my phone asking for a ride to church almost every week. And then finally, I found somebody in the church who lived by her because, I mean, she lived 45 minutes away. I found somebody in church who lived by her that could drive by her house and pick up the girl because she was driving me crazy. But guess where she was every Thursday night? She was at church because she refused no for an answer. I think that's sometimes how God wants us to pray through to things. Oh, no? Okay, I'm going to pray again. Oh, I don't like that answer. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to keep going at you, God, until you... I know you hear me, but I want you to know that I know that you hear me. So you not only have to be able to circle things that you want. You don't not just circle dreams and thoughts and visions that you have. So you got to pray hard about them. And then thirdly, think long. I was going to put the title "Pray Long," but I was like, no. Then people are going to get the misconception that they have to pray for hours upon hours at the same time, and that's not what I'm talking about. Think long. I recently came across this story. It was a story on the Swedish island of Visingo. There was a mysterious forest of oak trees. Mysterious because oaks did not originate on the island and its origin was unknown for more than a century. Then in 1980, the Swedish Navy received a letter from the Forestry Department reporting that their request for ship lumber was ready. The Navy began to look through their records and they found that they didn't request lumber for ships. After a little historical research, it was discovered that in 1829, the Swedish Parliament recognized that it takes oak trees 150 years to mature, and anticipating a shortage of lumber at the turn of the 21st century, they ordered that 20,000 oaks be planted on this island to protect the Navy. That, my friend, is thinking long. There was only one objector, and the reason that he objected was, his point was, well, in the 21st century, I doubt they're going to be making ships out of lumber. But yet everyone else disagreed, and so they planted all of these oak trees on this island. One dimension of thinking long is thinking different. And prayer is the key to both. Prayer doesn't just change circumstances in our lives. Prayer, more importantly, changes us. It doesn't just alter external realities, but rather it alters internal realities so that we see with spiritual eyes the things of not only the natural, but also in the spiritual world. It gives us a bigger vision and it corrects our nearsightedness. It enables us to see beyond our current circumstances or our current selves or beyond our current time. It's not enough to dream big, and it's not enough to pray hard. We must also think long. If we don't, we'll experience a massively high degree of discouragement. The reason why is because we tend to overestimate what we can accomplish in a year. And of course, we also tend to underestimate what we can accomplish in a decade. The bigger the vision that we have, the harder we'll have to pray and the longer we'll have to think. The bigger vision that you have for your life or your dream, the longer you will have to think. But if we keep circling, eventually in God's timing, it will come to pass. Some of the greatest accomplishments in life are not those that you win on a whim or it just happened. Some of the greatest things are things that you've built up to. Things that you've invested your time, your energy in. And then whenever those things come to pass, it actually means something because you've invested into it. There's many times I'm glad that God didn't answer my prayer whenever I prayed it, but rather I had to go through a process because the process taught me to appreciate the prayer. In the book of Daniel, he had an extreme an encounter with an angel, and this angel came to him and he said, "Be not afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain wisdom and understanding and to humble yourself before the Lord, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." He said, from the first day you prayed, I heard your words. From the first time you prayed that prayer, I heard what you had to say. God heard it. And then he said, but the prince of Persia kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help because I had detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future for the vision concerning a time yet to come. Can you imagine possibly having a conversation with your guardian angel? It'll be one of the most revealing conversations, I believe, in heaven, knowing the things that I was kept from and the things that were allowed to happen to me and the reason why they were allowed to happen. But Daniel gets this short conversation on his side of history. And I can't help but wonder if, you know, maybe they had a side conversation about the lion's den or why he was in Babylon. I don't know. But he has this conversation. And like all angelic greetings, it begins with "fear not, do not be afraid." I don't know if that's protocol, but it seems like every time in the Bible where an angel appears, it's always "fear not." Then the angel reveals the reality of the spiritual realm in a way that seems nowhere else in scriptures. We know that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but this encounter fleshes out. The angel reveals the importance of praying through. The angel reveals the spiritual warfare that is being waged beyond the certainty of our consciousness. The angel reveals the ways that prayers are processed. Daniel's prayer was heard before the words ever passed through his vocal cords, but it wasn't until the 21st day that he experienced a breakthrough because of spiritual oppression. An evil spirit known as the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted the call for angelic backup until the 21st day. I can't help but ask the question, what if Daniel quit praying on the 20th day? So if in my mind I have this process right, Daniel prays and God hears him. So God looks at this angelic being and says, okay, you're going to take the answer to Daniel. And in the process of this 21 days and he's trying to get the answer, he's resisted. For 21 days, he's resisted. And it is Daniel's prayer Daniel's consistency that was able to help pray through the angel from this spiritual battle down to where Daniel could get his answer. Maybe that's why sometimes that we use the phrase pray through something. We pray it and God hears it, but maybe the dream, the vision that we have is so magnificent that there is spiritual warfare that's trying to stop the answer from getting from heaven to us. And so we have to continue every day in prayer, trying to make sure that we get the answer that God has for us. Because if we stop praying through before the breakthrough, then I fear many times we will forfeit the miracle that God has for us. Daniel's prayer was heard, and he refused to forfeit his miracle. There was nothing fancy about it. Daniel ranks as one of the most brilliant minds of the ancient world has ever known. He was a Renaissance man 2,000 years before the Renaissance. With an unusual appetite for philosophy and science, he could explain riddles and solve problems unlike anyone in his generation. But it was not his IQ that gave Daniel that ability to be able to move kingdoms and kings. The thing that superseded him over the superpowers of earth is whenever he would get down on his knees before God. And whenever he got down on his knees and he refused to think in short-term circumstances and he began to think about the big picture of things, that is whenever he was able to bring kings and kingdoms to their knees. He just didn't pray whenever he was having a bad day. He prayed every day. He didn't just pray or talk to God whenever he was in a lion's den. It was part of his everyday life. The intensity and the degree of intensity right before he was thrown into the lion's den, I'm sure that it was great. But he had already learned how to pray that intensity before he was in that intense moment. I love how he wrote in the book, he says, how does a prisoner of war become prime minister of a country that took him captive in the first place? How does a prisoner of war become the prime minister of the country that took him captive in the first place? And the only answer is God. The ascendance of Daniel defiles political science, but it defines the power of prayer. Prayer invites God into an equation, and what happens after that is that all bets are off. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter if we're at a school. It doesn't matter if we're at a job site. It doesn't matter if we're in a classroom. It doesn't matter what job or profession that you have. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do or where you are. If we can stop what we are doing, drop down on our knees and pray, then we never know where God can take us, what we'll do, who God will put in our path. Whenever I was in college, I had a professor who used to tell us that every day his prayer was, God, take me to the place, show me the person, and give me the words to say. And that has become my prayer every day. God, show me where you want me to go. Put the people in my life today that you need impacted, and give me the words to say. Position me where you need me to be positioned. Because if we will position ourselves, God can use us in ways that we've never seen before. But we have to have the ability to think beyond our current situations and think long term. One of the most famous paintings of Daniel is in the National Gallery of Art, and I looked it up today, and it's a picture of Daniel sitting there. He's like in a prayer position looking up, and there are lions all around him. And he's in that, and the door to the den that he is in is open and lights shining through. And I thought, that is the perfect picture of how we ought to live in today's society. Doesn't matter what our situation is, we know that the lion's den that we may be in is not our final destination. So why concern ourselves with the lion's den? Why are we concerned with the lion's den? Why are we concerned with our current destination? Proverbs said, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I firmly believe that the reason why some people have no vision is because they get wrapped up in their current circumstance. Either God has a plan for your future or He doesn't. Either we can trust God in whatever circumstance we're in or we don't. But many times we like to throw in the towel because right now what I see is tough. And our prayer life only becomes about what we see. Our prayer life is only about this current hellhole that I'm in right now. But what would happen if we refuse to get bogged down in the moment and say, you know what, there's a bigger picture. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm thinking long term. I'm not thinking short term here. And I am going to begin to position myself to be able to move whenever God says to move. Because if I position myself, then whenever God does speak, I can move on that wording. But if I'm so concerned with my current situation and God wants me to do something, well, I'm not in position. It's so important that we find the proper positioning. There were very few people in Scripture who prayed with more consistency and intensity than Daniel. And what makes his persistence in prayer so remarkable is that he knew that his dream of rebuilding Jerusalem would not be fulfilled in his lifetime. He prayed toward the city that he knew he would never see with his physical eyes. The prophecy was that it would take 70 sevens, or the amount of 70 years. It is amazing that a man will dream and pray for something that he knows that he will never physically see. But yet he prays with such an intensity that he will see as if he would see it tomorrow. He never stopped dreaming big. He never stopped praying hard because he was thinking long. Daniel was thinking in terms of millenniums. His prayers were seeds of salvation that we would reap today. The thing that impresses me about Daniel is he knew that his prayers wouldn't be answered for 70 years, yet he prayed with such a sense of urgency. Now, as some people, I don't like to think that I'm a procrastinator. I am on some things, but, you know, as procrastinators, you know, let's say for 70 years, I'll start praying during the 69th year of the 11th month, and then I'll pray that God will do something awesome right there at the last minute, because why pray for something for 70 years? But that's not how Daniel thought. Daniel thought long term. We live in a culture that overvalues 15 minutes of vain and undervalues lifelong faithfulness. Maybe we have it backwards. Just as our greatest successes often come on the heels of our greatest failures, maybe our greatest answers often come on the heels of our longest and our most boring prayers. But if we pray long and boring prayers, then our life will be anything but boring. your life will turn into a spiritual adventure that it's destined to be. It won't always get you to where you want to go, but it will get you through. One of Daniel's famed things that we know about him is that he would open his window 3 times a day and begin to pray in a posture. His physical posture was an important part of his prayer. It's like a prayer within a prayer. Posture is to prayer as tone is to communication. If words are what you say, then posture is how you say it. They say that, what, 80% of communication is through body language or something like that? Or is it 70%? Anybody? Is 80%? The majority? Yeah, a little bit majority. There's a reason why Scripture prescribes a wide variety of postures, like kneeling or falling prostrate on your face, or the laying on of hands, or the anointing the head with oil. Physical posture helps posture our hearts and our minds. When you raise your hands in worship, it symbolizes that you surrender to God. Sometimes whenever you raise a clenched fist to celebrate what's going on, that's awesome. I'm excited. Different postures. Whenever you drop to your knees, you're saying, I depend on you. I am depending on you. There's many different prayer postures that people use. The Quakers have a unique way of praying with body postures. They start out with their hands facing down whenever they begin to pray. This is symbolizing the things that we need to let go of. A lot of times in life, there's a lot of things. No, every day in life, there's things that we just need to let go of. There's things that we like to hold on to and we like to get a grip on, and then those things begin to take control of our minds, our hearts, and our emotions. And they separate us from God. But a lot of times what we just need to do is say, you know what? I'm letting go of this because the issue is bigger than me. And I really don't. I don't have enough hours in my day. I don't have enough minutes. I don't have enough moments in my life to worry about these things. So I'm going to release them into the hands of God, and I'm not going to worry about it. Why should we flood our minds with current problems of life whenever we can be full of faith and we can bring hope and encouragement to a lost world? When we can either worry about a bunch of things that we cannot control, or we can set our minds long term and say, okay, God, what is the vision that you have for my life? What is the vision that you have for my family? What is the vision that you have for my role in this church? What is your vision? And whenever you begin to work that out with God, develop that, you can begin to walk toward that, and you don't have to worry about all the stuff. It's thinking long. It's thinking different. It's thinking prayer. Whenever you let God envelop every day of your life, God, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to talk? Give me the words to say. Let me strengthen. There's enough hurting people in the world. There are plenty of people who are hurting. What they need is hope. What our world needs more than anything is hope. And we can bring that to them. You already have great faith in your God, or you wouldn't be here. You can bring them hope. I'm very excited because this Sunday, a great friend of mine is starting a church in St. Charles Parish, which is right outside of New Orleans. He's been prepping for at least 2 years, trying, and this Sunday they'll finally launch. They've been doing some small groups in the St. Charles Parish area, and they will probably launch with 70 to 80 people on Sunday because they've been doing all these small groups for over a year, and I'm excited about that. And the name of their church is Hope Church, and the tagline is "Get your hopes up." And the way where he got that from, he said he was driving over the St. Charles Bridge, and as he was driving over it, he said he just felt like God told him, bring hope to St. Charles. And I thought, man, we get to bring hope to people. We get to bring hope to Moss Bluff. We get to bring hope to Calcasieu Parish. We get to. It's a privilege. We get to bring everything that Jesus Christ has. But if we are currently and we are constantly thinking short term, it'll never happen. We must think long. We must think vision. That's how we have to control our minds. We have to rein in our minds sometimes and not allow the foolishness of life to detract us. Because, you know, what is popular today will eventually be unpopular next generation, and then eventually it'll be popular again. So why worry about those things? Why worry about the mess? Focus on what is good. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are good report. Think on these things. Let's train our minds to think about the good things of God. There's enough negativity out there. Let's not allow those things to enter into our minds. Let's focus on what God's doing, because he's doing some awesome stuff. But if we continually focus on things we cannot control, then we're going to lose out on what God has. Two reasons I believe that that sometimes we don't get our prayers answered is, number one, we don't pray through, and then number two, we don't claim the promises because we're too busy claiming the bad stuff. Don't be afraid to claim the good stuff. There's a lot of good things out there. And when we practice prayer postures prescribed in Scripture, it helps us to dream big. It helps us to pray hard and think long. At the critical junctures in life, sometimes you need to go beyond prayer. You need to add something to it. And that thing is fasting. It can be very, very effective. There is nothing more powerful than an empty stomach. I'm not talking about like media fast and soda fast and all that. I'm talking about like no food. Or as where they get the Daniel fast from, vegetables, fruits, and water. That can be some of the most effective times of your life. That's where you can get closest to God whenever you begin to practice prayer and fasting. I know this is not like some incredible new thing that you've ever heard, because you've all heard prayer and fasting. But what if we actually did it? What would happen in our church if we would pray and fast? What kind of things would be broken, and what kind of things would grow if we would pray and fast? The most critical junctures of your life can become so much clearer whenever you have a specific goal, a defined timeline in your mind where you can say, you know, for the next 21 days, I'm just going to eat fruits and vegetables, and I'm going to drink water. It was this 21-day fast that brought an angelic visitation to Daniel. And when you fast and pray, it's almost like moving sidewalks to get to your desired destination in half the time. Because fasting has a way of fast-tracking your prayers. Because fasting is harder than praying. And fasting is a form of praying hard. In my experience, it's the shortest distance to a breakthrough. Now, this subject of fasting is really kind of taken hold of me because I made a pledge to myself. I circled something in prayer that I promised God. I made a promise to God that in 2014 I was going to fast more than I've ever fasted before. And this may sound crazy, but the promise that I made to God was, I said, I'll give you the first 21 days of the year. I kind of ruined that the other night. Thank you, Doug, for ruining my fast. But what my goal was, fast the first 21 days of the year, fast the first 3 days of every month, and then one day every week. And the reason why is because my prayer was, God, I need, because first of all, I knew that I was moving from Thibodeau to Moss Bluff. I knew that I was having a baby in 2014. And there was a lot of transitions going on in my life. And I know that in my own strength and in my own wisdom, these transitions would probably overwhelm me. So I needed to make sure that I knew that I was on the same page with God every step of the way. And there is no way that I could ever be on the same page with God without getting into that spiritual realm, that spiritual dimension of things. And the only way I know how to do that is through prayer and fasting. I knew that there were things that would probably come against my family in this transition, but I know the only way to combat is through prayer and fasting. I knew that there would be things that I would focus on in this church, and the only way that I know how to combat things is through prayer and fasting. There's really nothing mystical or magical, I guess you could say, about it, except the fact that I believe that it gets God's attention and it gets heaven's attention whenever somebody says, you know, I'm going to sacrifice. I've got to get all the distractions out of the way, because prayer and fasting, that's what it does. It gets all of the distractions out of your way and begins to get you focused in on God, the source of all the strength and the source of all the power. And whenever you get the distractions of life out of the way and you begin to focus in on God, He can speak to you. Many times we complain that God's not speaking to us, but we're not getting the distractions out of our way. And a lot of times it's not the enemy that's stopping you from hearing from God. It's your own distractions that you've created in life. And the only reason I know that is because I've experienced it. There is more. There are many ways to draw a prayer circle. In fact, sometimes it involves just more than prayer. It's fasting. It's a form of circling. In fact, as I said, the empty stomach may be the most powerful prayer posture ever. Even Jesus said that some miracles are only possible by prayer, and some are only accessible via prayer and fasting. It takes the combination of prayer and fasting to unlock some double dead bolts, doors in your life. You know, it's easier to give up on a relationship than it is to pray and fast. It's easier to throw in the towel on some things than praying and fasting. But what would happen? And this is my challenge to you. What would happen? What if you said, for 10 days, I'm going to go on a Daniel's fast, and I'm going to eat only fruits and vegetables and drink water. And every day, I am going to, you got 24 hours in your day. I kept a time log for me. I wanted to become effective And I still kind of do this, but I've got a little. I wanted to really become effective with my time, so I would literally catalog every minute of my day. I wrote down literally what I did every single minute, and then I would go back and I would begin to catalog all of my time and see how many hours I slept, how many hours I was at work, what I did at work, how much time did I spend checking emails, how much time did I do this, and I began to catalog it, see where I could knock out wasted time. And it's crazy. My mind works weird. I don't know why I just went into all that. But my point is, you've got 24 hours in your day. You can find 1 hour. You can find 1 hour to spend alone with God in prayer. You can do it. You're as busy as you want to be. We are as busy in life as we want to be. This is my challenge. 10 days of vegetables, fruits, and water, and 1 hour in those 10 days in prayer. And then come and tell me it didn't work. It's your homework assignment. Because if we are going to reach this community, we're going to reach Calcasieu Parish, it's not going to happen without prayer. You know what? The leadership team of this church can come up with as many strategies and goals and plans. Believe me, I believe in strategies and goals and systems. I'm a systems guy. I believe in those things. But all systems created at this church will fail without prayer and fasting. Well, the principles behind the systems, yes, it'll grow. It'll grow a church, and it will grow numbers, but the spiritual underlying will not be there, and eventually it will fall flat. Everything we do must be underlined with prayer and fasting. I'm asking you to join with me for 10 days to pray and fast. If you can come up to the church for 1 hour, that's great. If you can do it in your living room, that's great. Get the distractions out of the way. Don't listen to anything negative. Don't let anyone say anything negative about your family. Don't let anybody say anything negative about your church. Shut them all down. And let's spend 10 days in prayer and fasting. And let's just see what God does. Because if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. And this challenge requires humbling. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. I need to hear from heaven. I need to hear from heaven. I am so desperate for a word from God that I'm willing to go to whatever extremes it takes to get it. If it requires an empty stomach, it'll go empty. If it requires my knees to stay plugged into a carpet, then they'll stay in a carpet. Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. Think long. Don't worry about the things right in front of you. Focus down the road. Get a vision. Move forward. Move toward a goal. Say, God, that's where we're going. That's where we're going to get to. And nothing's going to distract us. No distractions. We're moving forward. Why don't we stand and just begin to worship the Lord and make some promises to Him? God, we're not going to get distracted. We're going to think down the road. We're going to begin to pray and fast like we never have before. We're going to circle our dreams and our promises. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. We give it all to You. We give it all to You.